Begin Again Mama. Today I am so excited to share Christy Teal with you. Christy is a mama, somatic coach, and somatic experiencing practitioner in training. She believes in the body's innate ability to heal and bring the power of connection and co-regulation into her work with clients. Healing and resolution doesn't happen just through talking about our stress and challenges, but when we can access more safety and learn to be present with our bodies and the stories they have to tell. Christy's unique approach to somatics is a culmination of her own lived experience, her training and education in psychology, yoga, mindfulness, holistic healing, and somatic experiencing, as well as her own continued healing and trauma resolution. Get ready to meet Christy, you guys. Welcome, Christy. I'm so honored to be sitting down and talking with you. I feel like I've followed you on social media for quite a long time now. I think it's been a year because I actually had Elizabeth on for the Conscious Preconception book that you guys co-wrote together. Yeah. And so you've been in my realm for over a year now. And then I really connected to you after the birth of my daughter, Faye. And just having your support and your content really helped me in that grieving process of having a baby be born still. And I can't thank you enough for that. And so it feels surreal to be sitting and talking to you now.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to be here and to be face to face, even though it's through a screen, but
as much as we can be.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'd love to just hear a little bit about you and the work that you do.
Yeah, so I'm a mama first, that is for sure. And then I'm a trauma-informed somatic coach and a somatic experiencing practitioner in training. So I'm in my second year of the three-year program. And my work's evolving a lot since losing my daughter, Cadence Faye, which I feel like I have to add in Faye for your Faye. Yeah, my work is just evolving and who I'm supporting and what that looks like. But in the full scope of it is really helping people to find deeper connection and a felt sense of safety from within, and to heal from trauma, whether it's these big events like loss or grief, or smaller, I don't like using that word, but smaller things, relational trauma or being bullied as a kiddo and things like this. So helping the mind and body to heal so that we can live a more alive and aligned life.
What is somatic healing? What does that look like? And because it just feels so, like, the content you put out there feels very different from what we are shown and taught in real life and from what I think our culture pushes us to look like in healing.
Yeah. This is also, and I'm so grateful for somatic experiencing for really clarifying a lot of this for myself. And because somatics and nervous system healing is becoming more and more trendy, is one word I'll use. It's becoming more popular, which is great, but it's also becoming more trendy. I think what it is confusing, especially on social media, because people just say anything that has to deal with the body is somatic. And that's not wrong, but it's also so much more nuanced than that. So yeah, what I'm working with right now with for myself and for clients is really listening to the story that the nervous system has to tell, and not just our stories of what have happened to us, but how it has impacted our nervous system and in turn everything else in our lives. So yeah, let me ground myself to think of a clear way. It's not, somatics isn't just the practices, right? There's like somatic practices, which are great and helpful, but for trauma resolution and having a healthy nervous system, which isn't regulated all the time, that's not healthy or possible, I don't think. But to have a resilient nervous system that can respond to the stress and the challenges of life, and often in daily life, to embody that, it takes a really slow and gentle approach. And I think that's the part that's missing a lot from what we see from general healing, and also what we see in here for somatic healing. It's not this like quick fix by any means. And yeah, it's this slow and gentle process of reattuning to this really natural state that we're like meant to live in. This natural rhythm of our nervous system to activate and experience charge and stress, but also to easily downregulate after and not get stuck frozen, not really functioning, or in functional freeze, or this constant activation hypervigilance state. So I don't know if that answered that, if that was a really long, rambly explanation, but yeah, do you get
I
some pieces?
appreciate that explanation because I catch myself all the time, especially experiencing traumatic grief. My sister unexpectedly died in 2021, and that was like my first real intimate experience with grief. And I think ever since then, I just had been looking for this roadmap
Yeah,
of
totally.
how do I do it? How do I honor this experience and learn how to live within it, but also still show up in our society and function. And I think for a long time, I was fighting that living within it and honoring part by just being positive because everything happens for a reason. And what can we learn? And all this stuff that we are told as a griever that is not helpful. And by you putting it out there of the goal isn't to always be regulated, right? Like that's not even possible. That's actually not healthy within itself. It's to be resilient when those events occur because we're not going to avoid them. Nobody's going to escape this lifetime without feeling some sort of grief and traumatic event, right? Like that's part of it. And so having those practices and I think also having this understanding that it's not only action based is important.
And we want the quick fix because that's easier,
Feels
right? Or
good.
this the five, what is it? The five stages of grief. Like this, just go through these and then you will have grieved. And for anyone who, does get touched by grief, and the closer that you get touched by it, knows that that's just not how it works. And while I would love that, for it to have this like period end done, grief will be with us forever.
Right.
And we get to learn, and this is, I think, the gift and the blessing that those of us who've been touched by grief can walk with, is that it grows our capacity for compassion, empathy, understanding in so many ways. And it's such a teacher because the journey with grief specifically, but life trauma in general is so non-linear that there is no one way. There's definitely not a quick fix, and it requires space. I don't want to say time. I think it requires space, and that's what I find with this work, with somatic work and somatic experiencing, that it gifts to me as a practitioner, but with my own somatic experiencing practitioners, and then holding space for others is a safer space to be with what is.
I love that.
Yeah, the grief, the pain, the anger, the sadness, all the full range, the numbness, the I don't know.
Yeah, that feels true. I feel like when people say, just give it time, like that doesn't feel true, that doesn't feel comforting. But when you say space, that feels true. That feels realistic. That feels real. And there's the sense of like no strings attached to that space, right? When we say we just need time, there's this timeline of like, okay, 6 months, 9 months, can't be a year. Like that's too long. Like that type of thing.
And I'm not sure if this lands for you as far as grief. The unknown piece of it, right, is like you don't I don't know when it's going to show up, how it's going to show up. I have a sense it'll be there forever. And this is the other piece that I really love with this work, with somatic experiencing especially, is like we can only really take so much in doses. To feel all of the grief isn't even just saying that, I can feel my nervous system like
Me
too
too.
much, right? It's too much. And that doesn't mean we're bypassing it, avoiding it. It means that we're tending to our nervous system while tending to the grief. Because to feel all of the full range of emotions that comes with healing, and right now we're speaking to grief, it's too much, too fast, too soon, which is one definition of trauma and can keep us in our trauma or re-traumatizing ourselves. And I think that's been such a relief with my own trauma and losing Cadence and grief journey is like, ain't no way I'm doing it all at once. And those little bits that I can be with it for however long, just like dipping my toe into the, I always describe it as a deep well, a never-ending well of sadness that exists. And I don't want to get sucked in or jump all the way into that because it can consume. It can totally consume. But if I can sit near the edge of it, or sometimes that's too much. If I can just look at it from a distance and know that that's there, that's a safe way to tend to my grief, to my sadness, and to not re-traumatize myself in the process of trying to heal the trauma. That makes sense.
That does make sense to me. That lands right because when you explain it like that too, there's also this letting go of, I don't know, like there's almost a permission to allow it to be there for the rest of our lifespan and allow it to be there in the way that it needs to be, whatever that may look like at any given season and time.
And with what your capacity is, because
Right.
in different seasons, the capacity is much different, right? There's days when it's like I really can't feel into it. I know it's there, but I just not today. And then other days where it's like, wow, like yeah, I can really be with that. And I think that's part of the non-linearness of healing, and especially with grief. And I think to circle back to your question too, of like what we're taught or being taught with healing in general or life is like, one is just push on through, like, right? Like time heals all. And like, I'm not sure about that. And the pushing through, certainly, I've lived a lot of my life like that and can say it doesn't go well. And this bit of like, do these three practices and you'll be healed, right? Or like the two somatic practices to heal grief or to heal your anger. And that's just, it's not how it works. And while there's, I'm still the right words to describe how it all works are hard because it's really such a felt sense. But this piece of the non-linear and the non-linear, I don't want to say necessarily unknown, but that non-linear piece in this place of really honoring where your system is at in your own healing process in any given moment of any given day, because it changes not just day to day, but moment by moment. And that feels like a huge piece that's missing from life and healing and somatics that I see.
I can see that too. And not only that, but having that safe space to be held for you. I know that's missing in my life. Like growing up, it was a push-through mentality. Or if you can't push through, like please go to your room, handle those big emotions, and come back out and join us when you're ready. And so now, like, I literally do not know how to have emotions outside of like these equilibrium, culturally accepted emotions in an audience of people. Like I still have a hard time. Like I mean, my husband has seen me cry, but it's not often. Even my own therapist, it's not often. And it's like when I'm alone, that's when I feel my safest. But then again, when I'm alone, I feel like that's when I accidentally jump into that well and then overcome by it because it's all piled up on me.
And you're so not alone in that, like so not alone in that experience. And because of, I think, generationally how we've been taught to handle emotions or really not handle and be present with them. And that's a huge piece of healing too. And the work that I do is co-regulation. It's so important. Like, we're not meant to live alone, and we're certainly not meant to heal alone. And I think that can be taught in, I come from a yoga background too, and that's certainly taught in yoga philosophy, is like kind of sit in your shit until it, I don't know, poofs away, or this like lone wolf journey. And I think I'm learning that that's not how it is. And especially as women, we're meant to heal in togetherness and to have a space where a practitioner is regulated as they can be, and to just be in that presence alone is quite healing. And to have someone like it for this of a sometimes just saying something of like, of course, like, of course you don't feel safe. And to just have that scene, like, yeah, you spent a long part of your life having to figure it out alone. So of course that's like, of course, that's what you're experiencing. And sometimes that helps the system to just be like, okay, like they see me. And that's another little level of safety that's achieved. And when we work together, and this is why I think somatic work is most profound when done in togetherness and with an attuned facilitator, one that is attuned, that you are attuned to, and they're attuned to you, provides this opportunity for safety to grow and grow and grow, so we can heal. And not in this way of like releasing. Those are other terms that I used to use all the time that I'm learning now. Am I really letting go of something? Am I really releasing something? Or do I want to help my nervous system reorganize and reorient to something different, right? I'm not letting go of my grief. I'm not releasing my grief. I'm teaching my nervous system it's okay to feel that grief, and that we're safe. At least right now, we're safe. And we're safe enough to be 10 feet away from the well, and then eventually to go next to it, eventually to dip a toe in it, and little by little, we're not getting rid of anything. We're reorienting ourselves, and our system is reorganizing.
I like that. That gives me a lot to think about because I know I've been on this journey of releasing all the fear I have in my life because of the traumatic events of unexpected loss. And releasing it feels like I'm like, yes, that's what I want, right? Like I want to step into the love. I don't want to step into the fear. I want to release it. But then when I'm working towards that, it doesn't necessarily go anywhere. It doesn't actually need to go anywhere either, maybe. It just needs to be acknowledged held that
Yes.
it's not wrong. And then it can be reorientated into this situation or whatever it is that you're in right now, that stance of life.
Yeah, and what beautifully said, right? It's how the holding of it and growing the capacity. And again, of course, like, of course you feel fear. Like, I'm gonna cry now. Like, of course, it's scary. Like, what we've been through and unexpected loss is, it's scary. That's normal and natural, right? And then as we start and continue to heal, it's like we can't just be like, okay, bye, fear. You're gone. And how you're saying, right? Stepping into love, stepping into to trust, to hope is so important. And those things are easier to feel than the fear. And that's, again, it's not this like bypassing of the fear. But it's learning how to feel, right? If I can feel a little bit more love, if I can feel a little bit more safety and trust, then I can also feel a little bit more of that fear. And those things can coexist. That's the other thing that grief in this work has taught me big time, is it can all coexist. And before it was like, no, like fear does not exist where love is, or like, you can't fear if there's trust. And it's like, pretty sure I am. Like, I'm experiencing so much love when I lost Cadence, like so much love for my daughter Lila, who's here. And in the very same moment, so much sadness at the same time for Cadence, who I lost. And it's like, certainly those things can coexist. And I think it's the same concept here, is like, yes, stepping into love. And I'm curious, you don't need to share at all, but I'm curious as you're doing that, how it is to then look at the fear. Is it a little, is it a little less scary? Is it a little more possible to turn towards it?
It is. It feels more safe to look at the fear. I think when the fear is all consuming, I get into my mind of like, then it's gonna happen.
Right.
And when you do step, when I do step into that love, it does seem like I can look at that fear for what it is and see that that is how my grief is showing up in that moment, typically. It's other things too, but it typically for me, it's the grief.
Yeah. And again, of course. I guess that just like the other, like it all makes sense, right? Like it all makes sense.
And the having both coexist makes sense too. Like looking for me, I feel it's easier to recognize that emotions that feel opposing or feelings, emotions, I'm not really sure what all the right words are for these things that feel opposing can coexist when I look back on the past experience. Like I can envision myself and like I embody being back in my bed postpartum after we lost Faye and snuggling with my toddler at the same time and having those both coexist. And that feels like, of course, like that's yes, those things can be true at the same time. I have proof of that, right? I have living proof of that. And then also being in this moment and being like, I have so much fear, I can't trust because I have fear and they can't coexist. I feel like I get inside my mind like that. In the present.
Yeah. And this is the curious thing when with trauma, challenge, stressors, there's many words we can label it as. I know some people don't like to use the word trauma. So we can like pick your word for it. The big emotion, the uncomfortable emotion, it has this essence where it's consuming, right? It like wants to take us into it. And it does feel like it's all consuming. And this is why it's important in the nuanced, one of the many nuanced pieces of somatic experiencing, is we don't want to dive straight into the trauma. We don't want to go straight into the fear. And again, I think there's many teachings within the world of somatics, holistic healing, yoga, all of it, to go straight to the center. And I don't like even just saying that, like I have that, you can probably see to my face again. I'm like, don't go to the center. Like, we can get there, but with this example, the fear is big. It's big and it's loud. And okay, it's there and it's probably not going to go anywhere just on its own. It doesn't just poof. But if we can spend a little bit more time over here with the love, with the trust, the safety, the surrender, right? We get that exhale, we get that coming back down before we go into the fear and the activation. And we want to teach our nervous system that it's safe. And this is the essence of the nervous system, this rhythmic, easy activation, easy, easeful down regulation. And this nuanced piece with somatic experiencing, we call it pendulating, is we don't want to ignore the big, scary emotions or traumatic experiences, but we're certainly not starting there. When I'm working with clients, we do not start there. I want to hear about it. I'm going to help you and guide you the best I can to heal from it. But we're going to start over here with a little bit more safety, with a little bit more of the love on board, with a little bit more trust. And teaching the nervous system that it is safe enough to feel, period. And when we can teach it, it's much easier to feel love, goodness, trust, than fear, sadness, grief, anger. So we start here and build our capacity to feel and know that we're safe to feel. So then when we pendulate, when we come back over here, we don't go straight to the center sill. But we just maybe look towards the fear and then again get closer and closer. But this nuanced piece of not going straight to the center and actually taking our time and giving space for safety first. So then we can, it's like getting all your safety gear on before approaching the harder stuff. And it sounds like, which is fun and exciting and beautiful, that you're kind of doing that on your own, right? You're orienting towards love and safety and orienting towards that so that there can be a different relationship with the fear.
Yeah, I'm trying, but I definitely look forward to working with you on this because it's not something that I've been taught, and I can recognize even how my nervous system, and I don't want to say lack of regulation because I feel like I've not given myself enough credit with, just how I am on a daily basis, but I see how my nervous system does impact like my toddler's nervous system, whom I'm with every day, all day long. And I can even imagine how like just this generational trauma and generational everything impacts all of this as well too. And so the work that you're doing is so beautiful because yes, it helps the people you're working with, but it helps the people around them too. And that emulates and ripples out so much farther than we can ever imagine.
And especially for our little ones. And mamas don't get enough recognition of just how much we are holding and how dysregulating motherhood and parenthood is. It's a lot of activation all day long, and it's hard to get those moments of down regulation, right? Or we're activating all day long and then we just shut down. Right? And our nervous system is not, this is not the rhythm of our nervous system.
And it's hard to separate from our little's nervous systems.
Yeah, and they co there's co-regulation and co-dysregulation.
Right.
And that's, I won't even let you know when I've mastered it, because I guarantee I won't master regulation within parenting. But there's so many tools in doing this kind of somatic work, and somatic healing is such a gift to the world, really, what, like how you're saying, but a gift to our little ones, because they get to see and their nervous system feels it. And as a parent, I'm sure you can relate, and any other parent who's listening, when you feel dysregulated, it's not often the child's like, okay, like, let's
I'll
take a
hold
breath.
space for you.
Yeah, some magical moments that happens, but often it like increases the chaos and it's a challenge. But this work definitely lends itself to a more beautiful and easeful way of living all around.
And I could just feel my own nervous system, even just like talking to you over Zoom. Like, we're not even in person, and there is still that impactful togetherness feeling. Is there anything else that you feel called to share or bring up that we haven't touched on?
Maybe just to say it out loud, because it's an important part of my own journey and like liberating, is the deeper I'm going into this work. I've worked in the field of somatics for, it's been like 12 or 13 years in different ways, different capacities. And I'm diving even deeper now with somatic experiencing. And it feels really good to get to a place where I'm like, I don't actually know. I don't know the answers. I don't know. I don't think there's just one way. And I feel more and more capable of holding space for others, even while saying, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know. And I'm here. And I'm continuing to ground and regulate myself, because we're gonna look at that together. We're gonna feel that together. We're gonna move towards safety regulation together. And that feels just like an important piece. And as a practitioner, I don't want to put myself on this pedestal. I'm not gonna, I feel like I'm so happy to be done with those days where I think I know. You know, or like, I'm the coach, I'm the practitioner. And yes, there's certainly things I know and am learning that other people don't, and vice versa. And yeah, so just naming, I just want to name that. And that feels like a good place for me as a human being, as a mom, as a somatic practitioner, that I can hold space without knowing everything or thinking I need to know everything. And I think that's an important piece. And back to one of the first questions you asked of like, what's missing, or what has life kind of taught us, and especially social media, which is just like its whole other monster, is like, I'm not going to position myself as this person that's like, I'm an expert and I'm going to, you know, like, we're doing it and I'm better and I know. I feel like this work, as I'm diving deeper into it, and while I'm gonna be on my own grief journey forever, has humbled me so much. And it just feels good to be in the place of trust and knowing my capacity to hold space for others, and actually knowing that feels like a knowing. But how it's going to look, where exactly we're going to go, the answers, the linear, I don't know.
So beautiful. So beautiful. I appreciate that so much. And I'm going to say, I think that everyone that's listening to this, I know that you need to go follow Christy on social media and get connected with her, because your life will be better for it. You will pick up on the things that she does know and that she does share. And it's going to impact just your everyday and how you even just acknowledge your nervous system and regulate it on a daily basis.
Sweet.
Thank you, Christy. Christy can be found on Instagram at Christy.teal. That's KRISTY period TEAL. I will also have this information along with her website and her email linked in our show notes. Check out Christy, give her a follow. And as always, Mama, we are here to support you. Reach out to me as well on Instagram, tia.walden. That's at TIA.WALDEN. Until next time. Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.